The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here for the second hour. Rick Barnes was with us earlier, so was Bruce Feldman, talking about Les Miles. And it's just come out of Kansas that the university has ended up paying him $2 million to go away. He had $8 million left on his contract. He will pocket two. He has won three games in 2 years and completely humiliated the university with his alleged transgressions at LSU. Meanwhile, if you missed the story overnight, you were out of the country or maybe out of the solar system. Dak Prescott, one of the biggest deals of all time, a four-year, $160 million deal. Cowboys could have gotten him much cheaper 2 years ago, but they decided not to. So what do you make out of that? People are wondering, is Dak Prescott now moved to the highest level of quarterbacks to come out of the SEC to go to the NFL? An incredible day for Dak Prescott, and we're all happy to see him cash in epic ways. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Mitch Barnhart will join us shortly, University of Kentucky Athletic Director, Chairman of the Men's Basketball Committee. Let's check in with Carlos, who is up next. Hello, Carlos. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What's happening, man?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. The Dak Prescott deal. The morning show, you know, Keyshawn and them, of course, you the CEO of the talk show.
Sure.
But they failed to mention one quarterback, my alma mater, Navy. They didn't mention nothing about Roger Staubach. That's my alma mater. He won the Heisman for the Navy's Mac Mitch.
Well, Carlos, I didn't hear the show today. What was the topic? I mean, other than Dak Prescott,
they was naming some quarterback that played with Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
And they failed to mention. I can't believe it. They failed to mention Roger Staubach.
Well, Roger Staubach's the greatest quarterback to ever play at the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm surprised Keyshawn didn't mention.
Well, Keyshawn. I mean, listen. Keyshawn only knows what happens in Southern California.
But man, he come up my alma mater, Paul.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. The Cowboys fan, that was a big deal. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Jerry, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. This is Gary West.
Hey, Gary.
Gamecock fan. How you doing, man?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I'm a long-suffering Gamecock fan. I'm a graduate, and I worked for the newspaper back then. You probably worked at school newspaper. I used to travel with Coach McGuire. Got to know him.
Did you really? Well, what was that like?
Oh, it was fantastic. When you travel with him, he treated you like one of the players. He'd come back and check with you. And we continued the relationship all the way up till he died. I would go look him up in the stands after he retired. He was a tremendous person. And I got to know Tom Riker. He and I were buddies, a lot of other people. And I was tall. Well, still, I'm 6'5", had long hair. They thought I was on the team. They thought they had one hippie on the team. I went to New York with it, a bunch of other places. And I got locked out. We were standing at the old Statler Hilton in downtown. And I got locked out of the garden. And I remember Coach McGuire was a police. The daddy was a policeman. I went and got a policeman. He took me down to the dressing room, and I entered Madison Square Garden with the team. And that was cool, man.
Gary, I never saw Coach McGuire. What made him so good?
I think his people skills. He knew how to treat people, and he knew how to recruit. And he would get the good players, old school, get the heck out of the way and let them play. He never overcoached. He sat there as a gentleman, and if he needed to come in and do something, he did. And now we have the opposite here with Frank Martin, and Frank needs to go. And this is what I really want to talk to you about. I am proposing, and I've been pushing this since last year, we need to make Dawn Staley the coach. It's time for a woman's coach. If she wins another title, you think about it, she would be the darling of the media. Everybody would be talking about her. You look at North Carolina, they're going down, and you know, he's about ready to retire. Duke's not doing very well. Calipari's not doing very well at Kentucky. She could step on the stage. She could go in these young men's homes, and the mamas would listen to her. They won't even talk to Frank Martin because he's too damn mean. He can't get the elite players, but she could. What do you think about Dawn Staley being the new coach at South Carolina?
Well, I think she would be fabulous in anything she did. I don't see that happening. I really believe she's so committed to her women. And by the way, this happened can't remember what year it was, but they offered Pat Summitt the men's basketball job about 20 years ago, and she said no. And I think it was a good decision, even though Pat and Dawn would have been and still could be eminently capable. I think Dawn has found her niche. And I mean, I'd like to see her try it. I just don't think she will.
Well, that's what some of my friends tell me. I got some friends that play ball. They know her personally. I don't know Dawn. But if they waived enough money and they talked to her, it was.
Well, now I will agree with you on that, Gary. Sometimes a big check can influence your opinion.
Well, if she wins another national championship, what do you want to do? Why not go win a men's championship? That would set her apart from every coach.
Well, I tell you what, I would be in favor of it. Gary, thank you for the call, and thanks for the story on Coach McGuire. How about Zach, who is in Ohio? Hello, Zach.
Paul, what's up?
Zach, we're doing great. What's up with you?
Nothing. Just living life. It's a nice day here in Ohio, so, you know, outside on my back porch enjoying life.
Well, I am glad to hear that.
You know, I haven't called in a while, so I wanted to update you on some stuff. But I'm doing pregame announcing for baseball and lacrosse this spring.
Really?
So, you know, I emailed the athletic director at my school, and I was like, you know what, you told me to take as many opportunities as I can. So I was like, you know, might as well, even though I don't want to do baseball and lacrosse, might as well just take it.
Well, Zach, I will tell you this. You can't do enough things to try to help further yourself. So you take whatever you can get, and later on in life you can be choosy. But right now I would get the opportunities and get better at what you're trying to accomplish.
You're right. Well, that's all I wanted to say, Paul. Have a good rest of your show, and then I'll call in soon.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Great to hear from you, and good luck. Zach's a young, aspiring broadcaster who has been having a conversation with us for a while. How about Brooks in Georgia? Brooks, thank you, and good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
What's up with you?
Nothing.
Well, good to hear.
Not much.
Well, Brooks, what would you like to talk about today?
I don't really know. You pick.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. Are you a dog fan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, how do you think the dogs are going to do this year?
I hope good. Brooks.
Okay.
Oh my God!
For all those people that tell me what a great interviewer I am. I just failed there. Brooks was not a man of many words, but maybe he'll get better in his calling career. We will take a break. More to come, including the athletic director at the University of Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart, who will head the committee this weekend as the men's basketball committee will meet to seed and pick the tournament.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And winner else, an extraordinary story of the Kentucky basketball team in 1978. Remember Kyle Macy, one of the big stars there, Joe Hall, the coach. They became the first integrated team in the school's history to win an NCAA championship, and the first since 58 when they won their fourth under Adolph Rupp. And speaking of the University of Kentucky, the athletic director at UK is joining us now, Mitch Barnhart. It's always good to catch up, but today we'd like to talk about what is ahead this weekend and what Mitch has been doing for the entire basketball season. Because when you're on the men's basketball team, whether you're chairman or not, you have an awesome responsibility, and especially during a very complicated season. Mitch, thanks for the time. It's great to have you on, and I'm afraid to ask how you've been, because I know this is an awesome and very difficult responsibility.
Well, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. It's good to be with you. And thankfully, we've got an incredible group of people around us. We've got Dan Gavitt, who's the vice president for basketball at the NCAA, and just a wonderful man, and his staff, and then a group of committee members that have worked tirelessly. I mean, it has been the last 6-8 months has been amazing, difficult. It was difficult through football. It's been challenging. And then to get to the start line of basketball season, and now we're 27 days away from crowning a champion, and we want to have a way to do that in Indianapolis on Monday night, April 5th.
Mitch, I know that there's this perception the committee shows up and, you know, they're in a smoke-filled room in Indy and they see the tournament. I know that's not true. In terms of responsibility, other than being the chairman, is it true that every member of that committee has a certain either conferences or part of the country that they are responsible for?
Yeah, all the conferences are divided up equally amongst the committee members, and they monitor and work with those conferences. You're watching basketball throughout the country, but you're specifically focused on making sure that they're maintaining information and contact directly with those conferences. There's two committee members assigned to each conference, a primary and a secondary, and we work through those liaisons to the league, they work very closely with them on multiple occasions, and you're watching basketball in those leagues specifically, but basically throughout the country. But it's a very specific responsibility to those conferences. And then each committee member has got different responsibilities in helping to put on the tournament, and whether that is relationship with the television people, the media relations departments, the operational pieces. So there's very specific things. And then add a pandemic in there and add all the other details of which, and it's been a heck of a task for this group, and they've given unbelievable. It's been a full-time second job.
And Mitch, let me state the obvious. You also have a day job at the University of Kentucky.
Yes, we do. And and thankfully I've been at Kentucky for a good bit of time, and I've been fortunate to have I got a phenomenal staff back there that has been incredibly helpful and understanding. This is my last year on this committee, and so they've been gracious and worked to help keep the things in Lexington moving smoothly.
So I want to move on to this weekend, but on a sure. random night, when you're not keeping up with your own program, mm-hmm. Am I assuming you're sitting there watching countless
games?
Yeah.
Multiple games. So it's a, you start early in the evening, and if you're not watching your own team at some point, you're watching, you know, every bit of half dozen, seven other games off and on during flipping back and forth, and a couple of things going at the same time with iPads. And sometimes when you're watching your game, your team, you've got another game on an iPad watching it and paying attention to other things going on that are important to the committee work and the things that you're going to be talking about in the room.
I mean, it's not as if you aren't well-versed on college basketball, but are there specific things that you're – I mean, we make so much out of winning and losing, but I know there's more to it than that.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, especially in this year with the pandemic and everything that is related to pauses, everything that's related to COVID ineligible players, that has related to scheduling differences of non-conference games that have been scheduled, changes in the schedule, who's available for a game, who's not available for a game. So keeping up with that has been it's been more so this year than ever before. But yeah, you know, so there are certain things you're looking for. And then obviously you get into the things we've always looked for, the foundational pieces of what that is. Who did you play? Where did you play that game? And what was the result? That's the foundational principles. Then you get past that, and then you begin to talk about other things, the metrics of offensive and defensive efficiencies, and how does one team respond to the late-game free throw shooting or three-point shooting and those kind of pieces. And so those are things that are deep into the conversation. But there's some foundational pieces. And then there's things you're just looking for in this incredibly different environment that we're in right now.
So, Mitch, every year we see the look-ins throughout the conference tournament weekend,
yes.
And we see all of you in a room. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's going to happen this year, but I'm also assuming it's going to be different.
Yes, it will be. We practiced that, if you can believe that. We did. We practiced it about 4 weeks ago when we did the reveal, the 16 reveal. We came up to Indy as a group. And we practiced that in the NCAA headquarters, the social distancing with the mask and trying to communicate in a big room. And we've done that. We set that up here in Indy. I'm in Indy now. I came in last night. I'll be here for 28 days. And our group is all coming in. They'll all be in. The committee will be in here tonight. And they will not leave until the day after the championship on Tuesday, April 6th. We've got a room set up for them to be able to do their work. We've got a TV viewing room that is spaced out so we can all watch the games at night when we're trying to gather more information. And so, yeah, we've taken every precaution, but they will be together. I don't think you can have conversations that are healthy and understand the tenor of the conversation unless you're face-to-face. And so I think it was really important for us to figure that out. And, again, I'm thankful for all the effort that went into getting us to the spot to be able to do that.
I don't want to bury the lead here. You said you are there now and will not leave until after the championship game?
Correct. The committee will be tested every day, just like all the student-athletes and coaches. And we'll be here in our socially distant way and in the bubble, in the controlled environment, which is what we're calling it. It is a controlled environment. It's different than a bubble, but it is a controlled environment. And we will not – our families are not coming. No one's coming. We'll be here for 28 days, and I'm thankful again for these people to take their time away from their day jobs to do this for a month is remarkable, and they will not go home. They've brought all their stuff here, and they're locked in.
Talking to Mitch Barnhart, the head of the men's basketball committee, Mitch, it's fairly well known that when your own team or school, I should say, is being discussed, you have to step out. Are there any other requirements that would prohibit you from being in that room other than the conversation about the University of Kentucky?
No, not for that. For conference commissioners, when you're talking about someone from their conference, they would need to leave the room. So we've got some commissioners on our committee, and every time one of their teams comes up, they have to leave the room from their league. So that's a little bit – I think some people don't understand that as well. But certainly we're into starting tomorrow, and Paul, we've been very fortunate. We've worked. I mean, there's been a lot of hours that have gone into the preparation for this tournament specifically, and this committee has worked incredibly hard. But what we were really fortunate was to be able to do was to get all those details done. So tomorrow, when tomorrow hits and we actually begin our deliberations midday, we're going to be into selection, seating, and bracketing very specifically over the next 5 days. We've done our prep work. We've been on multiple calls about that. But we also had a lot of business to take care of in terms of the prep work to getting ready for the tournament. Tomorrow we get into the earnest piece of the selection, seating, and bracketing, and that becomes real time. Then we really get into it tomorrow.
I'm curious because you're all grown-ups, and I remember when we were young, you would do something with a group of people, and there was a collegiality, and on the final night, we all would look at each other and say, we'll be best friends for the rest of our lives. But, I mean, this sounds like something from I'm not being cynical here, but it sounds like something from Campfire back as youth, because, I mean, all of you are – you have no choice but to be close and to work collaboratively. Do you not?
Absolutely. And what you find is the relationships are it changes your relationships a lot. People you didn't really know, you get to know in a really unique and in a cool way. And I don't want to, again, more drama than there needs to be. But I will tell you, when you journey these things with people, you find at the end of the deal, it's been a special time. And so the friendships that I've created over the 5 years of being on this committee have been remarkable with the families involved. And so I'm thankful for that. I will miss that because there's some really wonderful people on this committee and the staff. And you realize you begin to understand the sweat equity they put into it and how hard it is. But at the end of the day, again, you walk off that thing when we finish on that Monday night, April 5th, you'll walk off of that. And there is a real feeling of a family in that thing. And then we spend an awful lot of time together, and I appreciate their friendships immensely.
Mitch Barnhart, the Dean of the Athletic Directors at the University of Kentucky in the SEC and the Chairman of the Men's Basketball Committee. Mitch, incredibly interesting to hear this. Be well, take care of yourself, and we hope to talk to you again when it's all over. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for everything. I appreciate your support on 100% being happy with the bracket when it comes out next week. I know that's where it'll be. It'll be awesome.
We will treat you very well. Thank you.
I'm kidding you. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Good to spend time with you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mitch Barnhart. What an incredible story there.
All the best.
You bet. I think you can hear it. I mean, these are very serious people at the pinnacle of their careers. And it does sound like an amazing journey. And on top of that, you're picking the thing that we're all eagerly waiting for on Sunday. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Back to the phones we go after some really great interviews. I had a great time listening to Mitch Barnhart talk about the basketball committee this weekend and what he has had to do. We had Coach Rick Barnes on earlier and Bruce Feldman. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, while we've been doing this, Jeff Long has been conducting a news conference in Lawrence talking about Les Miles. And he said at the news conference that the school did multiple background checks on Les Miles. Glad his background checkers don't work for the CIA. And he said, I asked Les if there was anything in the past that could embarrass the university, and he said no. I guess if Les had been honest, he could have said his last 4 years in Baton Rouge as the LSU head coach, but I guess he was not particularly honest. He said, I've known Les for 30 years. I consider him a friend, and that was not the reason why he was hired at KU. Then what other reason? Jeff, if you're being honest, just admit we were buddies, and I hired him because he was my buddy. I mean, don't try to act like you hired him because you thought he was going to be a competent football coach. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Bruce, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Bruce. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. I'm a first-time caller. Love listening to your show and stuff. So I'm actually excited that I actually made it through this time. So
thank you very much.
Okay, so I want to get just to kind of like football. So, okay, I follow Tennessee football, big Tennessee fan, but I seen something today where possibly now there's a coach that's come forward now maybe, or a rumor maybe in Georgia somewhere, a high school coach that now maybe the University of Georgia is possibly, you know, doing what Tennessee just kind of got caught doing. And I just know if you think that's fake news? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, Bruce, let me try to put some context to this. And I am only telling you what I know. I'm not sugarcoating the news. I'm not, you know, putting out something that is incorrect or do we believe it's correct? We don't know. All we know is that a tape surfaced. It was reported by various websites, a tape of a conversation, alleged conversation, between Rush Probst, who's famous high school football coach, now in Georgia, and a booster club president, where he talks about, according to the tape, things that he has seen at various schools and the way that in some places high school football teams operate. Now, all of this is salacious. All of this is sensational, and none of it has been verified. So I don't know what to call it. I'm not naive enough to say that it's entirely impossible for it to have happened. But even if it did happen, I would say to you in conclusion.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Okay, what are we going to do now?
Right. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not sitting here saying that every single school's doing things like this, but at the same time, you know, like what you're saying, is it possible? Yes, obviously. I mean, you know, unfortunately, our balls got hit with it, it's at the same time, it's just kind of one of those, I guess, when you're sitting back and, I don't know, you know, from a fan standpoint, you know, when you see it happen to your own, your fan, your team, and then you see it happen possibly or rumors, you know, you kind of sit back and think, well, you know, you would hope that if it is, the NCAA would do what they,
yeah, but,
you know,
but Bruce, I mean, the NCAA is not going to, the NCAA is not really interested unless you deliver something to them on a silver platter. Everyone knows the cases out there that are still sitting there, whether they're wiretaps or else. You know, why is Tennessee in trouble? Because the school fell on the sword. Tennessee admitted that, you know, we got problems here. We discovered countless level 1, level 2 violations. And not only that, we're firing the head football coach and 8 or 9 other people. The NCAA, I mean, the guy, you know, it's like the night watchman, you know, those commercials where the guy fell asleep. And I mean, that's the NCAA. They're asleep at the wheel. And if, I mean, I've investigated stories in the past where, I mean, unless you bring a video to the NCAA and have sworn statements, they're not going to do anything. They're not capable of it. And by the way, it's hard. It's not easy to find schools guilty anymore because of the lawyering up from every single university. And by the way, why shouldn't they? Hey, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And let's check in with Cletus, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Cletus. Go right ahead. Cletus, you there? Apparently not. How about Briley up next? Hey, Briley. Thank you for the call. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey there.
How are you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
That's good. I was going to ask, what is your opinion on how good the Georgia football team can do next year? Because now we got a pretty decent overall quarterback and some new talent coming in. What do you think?
I think Georgia's going to be really good. I think they could be a top two or three team. And we won't have to wait too long to find out because they play Clemson in the opener.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really fired up about it. I think this is – I don't know if this is the year Georgia does it. I think they have a legitimate shot. And you mentioned JT Daniel. The quarterback is the key. That was the issue last year, partially the issue the previous 2 years. Fromm was a good quarterback. Was he good enough to win a championship? We all know the answer. Let's talk to Bob, who is up next in New York. Hey, Bob, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Bob, we're doing well. Thank you.
Very good. I just have a question. What prompted your family back in the day to move from New York down to the southeastern part of the U.S.? And what made you choose to attend Tennessee for schooling?
Yeah, the first part of it is fairly easy to answer. I'm trying to remember the context of it, but it was a family decision that my mother's brother had moved down to Memphis, and my mother followed him before she got married. So she was already, she knew my father. They grew up together in the same neighborhood. But so it was her moving there that brought him. As far as Tennessee, it was pure economics. I don't mean to disparage my alma mater, but it was in-state. I was able to get some scholarship money, and it was the only place I really could afford.
Oh, very good. Well, as always, Paul, love the show, the guests, and the callers. Thanks again,
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I know that sounds wrong. I didn't mean to. I mean, sometimes you buy something, and I'm proud of my alma mater. I don't want anybody to misinterpret. But I had two choices basically. I could stay at home. Because of the money, the grant and aid and the scholarship money, I was able to go to Tennessee, which was really, to me, very exciting to go away to school. It changed my life. So I don't mean it to sound like, I wanted to go somewhere else. There was no place else under consideration other than staying at home and going to Knoxville. Turned out I'm really glad I went. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've already talked to Mitch Barnhart, the head of the men's basketball committee. Bruce Feldman came by. Rick Barnes, the head basketball coach at Tennessee. And we have more to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And Raymond is up next. Hello, Raymond. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Lifetime Bama fan, first time caller. I was calling, what concerns me. Growed up, I heard, don't believe nothing you hear and half what you see, But a prominent news channel showed three Twitter videos of an actor, and it took, people see it and they take it as real, but it took a forensics team to prove that they wasn't real, So it really concerns me going into sports,
Well, Raymond, I'm glad you said that. There was a time when people did have a high degree of skepticism, but nowadays, because social media is so available to all of us at any time of the day, that we tend to believe what we read. I am as guilty as you are. I've seen stories on my computer during the show, and I'm about to react to it. Then I said, hold on a second, because we can be taken by it. And I've got some experience at being able to differentiate. And I'm still guilty of it sometimes because somebody says something, we believe it. In this case, it may be true, has a ring of truth, but that doesn't mean it is true.
Yes, sir. And it would take, the guy said it'd take a forensics team to determine it, So I just worry about it coming into sports, people saying somebody's guilty till they know for sure.
Well, it's a good point, but as we have all seen, Raymond, once something starts mushrooming and going viral, it's very difficult to stop it. We will get back to the calls right now. And Adam is in Tennessee. Hello, Adam. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. I'm doing good, man. So I'm actually a pretty diehard, not only Vols fan, but Vandy fan as well.
Oh, great.
And right now, I mean, I'm that rare guy in between. I like to see them both do well until they play each other, and then it's just a good week. But I've been going back for 30 years, you know, with these programs or more. And, yeah, I feel like we're so far removed from Pat Summitt and from, you know, Phil Fulmer when he was successful, and even, you know, the Vandy basketball program whenever it was successful. And I know you focused on Tennessee a bunch, but I'm more concerned about Vanderbilt Athletics right now as far as whenever they're going to be able to bounce back. I mean, what do you see the condition of athletics at Vanderbilt right now? I know I don't really know what to make of the football coach. I know basketball, they still don't feel right to me, and I'm just kind of concerned about our in-state teams here.
Yeah, Adam, I thought the football decision was very good. And I've only had one encounter with Clark Lee, but I came away very impressed. Now, the basketball story is hard to quantify. I thought it was an unusual hire when the previous athletic director made the call. And I was a little concerned when the coach Stackhouse was because he had coached in the D League or the G League, I can't remember which one it was at the time, that would necessarily transfer or translate to college ball. I'm not sure it has, and you know, he's been there what, 2 years? Is that correct? So I think it's still TBD whether, you know, he will get it turned around. I think he has I like a lot of things I've heard him talk about, but the winning record, the one loss record, ultimately determines your success. Henry is up next in Florida. Hello, Henry.
Gator Henry to you. I call you every 3 years whether I need it or not.
I'm glad to hear that.
I'm with you. Okay, Vanderbilt, this young man asked questions on Vanderbilt. They're recruiting in their facilities. Has the ability, just yes or no, has the recruiting in gotten better, and have the facilities been cleaned up? And that would may help.
Henry, I still think it's a big issue, and I asked Clark Lee about that, and he gave a very good answer. I've asked Candace Lee, the athletic director, and ultimately the football facility question is out there.
My goodness. I was watching TV towards the end of the year. Coastal Carolina. My God, has that team turned around? It was good. And their football program there had a good record, I think 7-8 or 9. But their football on the ground, the defense and offense were equal. And I was very happy to see two games of that.
No, that was spectacular. I agree. I thought they were great there. Well coached, too. Anyway, here's where we are. We're 2 hours in. We've already talked to Bruce Feldman about the Les Miles situation. The Jeff Long news conference sounds like it was maybe a Saturday Night Live skit coming out of Lawrence. We had Mitch Barnhart on. I mentioned Feldman. Jay Billis will join us in a few minutes. And Rick Barnes from Tennessee has been with us as well. We have a lot more to do, and we hope you will stick around.